It's our all-age service, and so we're all in together today. So it would be nice if we could have, if there are children in, if the children would like to come a bit more towards the front and see what's going on here, that would be really good if they want to. Big children as well. Here they come, bless them. Yeah, just sit on the brown carpet. That's lovely. Okay. Today, we start a new series of talks in the morning services. They're from the second book of the Old Testament. What's the second book of the Old Testament called? Well done. Exodus is a Greek word which means leaving. And so the Bible story of Exodus is all about the Israelite people leaving a place called Egypt. But they weren't just leaving the country of Egypt, they were leaving slavery. So they could become God's people, living in a land of their own. This is a story about a group of people who lived a long time ago on the other side of the world. Now we might wonder, what's that got to do with us today? Well, as we go through the story, we shall see it has a lot to do with us. But before we go back to the first, we're going to go back to the first book in the Bible. Now, who knows what the first book in the Bible is called? They're a bit little down this end, I think. So the first book in the Bible is called? Genesis. Absolutely correct. Well done. In the very first pages of the Bible, we read about God making a perfect world and two perfect people. God lived with them and intended it for it always to be good. But then, remember what happened? Who remembers what happened next? Grown-ups. There were two people called Adam and Eve, and they disobeyed God. Yes, they did. There was something to do with an apple stand. Yeah. And they disobeyed God, and so they weren't perfect anymore. And people have been disobeying God, not doing what God wants them to do ever since. God gave the people lots of chances to do what he wanted them to do and obey him. But instead, the people kept on doing their own thing and turning away from God. But God still loved them. And he wanted them to love him and follow his good ways. So God called a man named Abraham to lead his people back to God. And he gave him a promise that he would have a great, huge family and a place of their own, a land of their own to live in. God also promised to be with him in the good times and in the not so good times. A promise which wasn't just for Abraham and his children, but for all of his family down the generations. And it was also a promise that was to be for us, people everywhere, forever. Abraham was really old when he died. Does anybody know how old Abraham was when he died? Can anybody remember? He was older than most of us, I'm glad to say. Well, he was 175 years old. That's really old, isn't it? That's really old. When some years later, Abraham's grandson Jacob, he was in charge of the family now, and the people were very hungry because there wasn't enough food in the land. So they moved to a land called Egypt, where there was plenty of food. And as they headed off, God repeated his promise, and he also promised that one day he would bring them back to their own land. Now, God doesn't always make his promises happen straight away. Sometimes that's because he wants us to learn more about him and ourselves. He takes much longer sometimes. At other times, he answers our promises quickly. Between the end of the story of Genesis and the beginning of the story of Exodus, 400 years passed. That's a long time as well. But God still remembered his people and kept his promises. And as we look at the story of Exodus, we shall see that God had a plan to rescue his people yet again. So this morning, children, I would like to introduce you to the person God provided to rescue his people. Now, his name was Moses. His name was Moses. Now, when Moses was born, the king wanted to kill him. So his mother hid him. She hid him in a basket, and she put the basket in some bushes called bulrushes. Now, can any of you see where there's a baby hiding in some bushes this morning? Can you have a look round and see? Can you see? Don't. If you find him, just leave him where he is, yeah? Don't drop the baby. That's the baby Moses. Now, the king wanted to kill baby Moses, so his mummy put him in this basket and she hid him in the river in all of the bushes. Okay, so, but then, do you know what happened next? The king's daughter, a princess, came. Whoa, look, a princess. And she found him. She found him, the baby. So she gave him to somebody else to look after him, a nurse, a baby nurse, to look after him. So, but she didn't know this baby nurse was really his mother. She was the one who put him in the bulrushes in the first place. So God was really looking after him, wasn't he? Giving him back to his mother. So his mother took him away to look after him. Until he was a toddler, and then she brought him back. This is Moses. This is Moses. You can stay there for a bit, Moses. Moses went to live with the king's daughter in the palace, who treated him like her own son and looked after him. He lived in the palace and had a very good life. Now, when he was a teenager, Moses the teenager, he tried to help one of his people who was being beaten up by an Egyptian soldier, didn't you?
Yes.
And what happened was he killed the man who was beating one of his people up. And then the king wanted to kill him again. So Moses ran away. He ran away to a land called Midian to hide, and a place where he was safe. While he was there, he became a shepherd. He got married and had a baby son of his own. And during all of this time back in Egypt, Moses' people kept on growing. They got to be more and more and more of them, till there were thousands and thousands of them. The king made them work very hard making bricks. Now, in the pews, I've lost my one, but in the pews there are some bricks. It's behind you. There are some bricks like this. Now, I'm going to pretend to be the slave driver this morning, the king's slave driver. And I want, can you children go in the pews and find some bricks? But the king didn't only make children work hard, he made grown-ups work hard. So I want everybody who finds a brick to quickly come, run it and put it in a pile. Come on, don't be lazy, get on with it, don't be lazy. No shirking on the job. Everybody who finds a brick, down the front. No excuses. No excuse. Thank you. Any more bricks? Come on. Come on. Make the masters work. Come on. Make the slaves work. Come on. Make the slaves work.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we can just pile them up. There's no need to make a wall or anything. Just throw them in a pile. Throw them in a pile. Yeah. Just stack them up. That's it. That's it. Just leave them there. Well done. I don't think the king said well done to his slaves. He just kept on beating them and beating them. Come on, quicker, quicker, more quickly. That's it. That's wonderful. You can go if you want. The people made lots and lots and lots of bricks. But the king was getting very worried that there would not be enough food for his own people, as well as all these people who came from a foreign land. So he began to treat them as slaves even more than before. And they used to give them straw to make bricks. Now they had to go and find their own straw. And all sorts of horrible things happened to them. As I wrote that, I thought, I don't think we would be mistaken in thinking that in these days, in 2017, kings, presidents, prime ministers, all over the world, very sadly, are thinking the same things as King Pharaoh did and are mistreating people from foreign lands in all kinds of cruel and unfair ways and try to get rid of them so they can forget about them. But God did not forget the Israelites, and he does not forget one person that he has made, even though it may feel like it at times. God always remembers his people, and he always remembers his promises. God remembered his people not because the people were wonderful. They did everything right. Quite the opposite, they were quite a moaning bunch for most of the time. He remembers them just because he loves them and is concerned for them. He saw how much they were suffering, and he remembered his promise to Abraham and to Jacob to bring them back to their own land.
Now we have our reading, which is in a slightly different form from usual. I think we are ready. Are you sitting comfortably? I'll begin. One day, while Moses was taking care of the sheep and the goats of his father-in-law, this is Moses, remember, Jethro, the priest of Midian, he led the flock across the desert and came to Sinai, the holy mountain. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a flame coming from the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it was not burning up.
This is strange. Why isn't the bush burning up? I will go closer and see.
When the Lord saw that Moses was coming closer, he called to him from the middle of the bush and said,
Moses, Moses.
He answered,
Yes, here I am.
God said,
Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, because you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
So Moses covered his face, because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said,
I have seen how cruelly my people are being treated in Egypt. I have heard them cry out to be rescued from their slave drivers. I know all about their sufferings. And so I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of Egypt to a spacious land, one which is rich and fertile, in which the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites now live. I have indeed heard the cry of my people, and I see how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now I am sending you to the king of Egypt, so that you can lead my people out of his country.
But Moses said to God,
I am nobody. How I can go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?
God answered,
I will be with you. And when you bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. That will be the proof that I have sent you.
But Moses replied,
When I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors sent me to you. They will ask me, what is his name? So what I can tell them?
And God said,
I am who I am. You must tell them, the one who is called I am has sent you. Tell the Israelites that I, the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent you to them. This is my name forever. This is what all future generations are to call me. Go and gather the leaders of Israel together and tell them that I, the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to you. Tell them that I have come to them and have seen what the Egyptians are doing to them. I have decided that I will bring them out of Egypt, where they are being treated cruelly, and will take them to a rich and fertile land, the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. My people will listen to them, to what you say to them. Then you must go with the leaders of Israel to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has revealed himself to us. Now allow us to travel 3 days into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless he is forced to do so.
As we've just heard in the Bible story, the drama there, well, very well done. Moses was not a baby anymore. He is a man who was one day, when he was on the mountain, heard God call his name from a burning bush which did not go out. God remembered his people. He remembered his promises. And even though Moses had run away from God's people, God remembered Moses and the plan he had for his life, which was to rescue his people from slavery and bring them back to their own land to live in freedom. Moses, go, God said. I am sending you to bring my people out of Egypt. Wow, that's a bit like God saying to just one of us, go rescue the 46 million people who are living as slaves across the world today. I think we too might say the same as Moses. Me? Me, Lord? Are the leaders of the nations going to listen to me? I don't think so. That's how I would feel anyway. Why should the king take any notice of Moses? Why indeed should his people take any notice? They wouldn't even know who he was. He had lived in Midian for 40 years. But the man Moses is a different person to the teenager Moses who ran away. Moses had been humbled during his 40 years in a strange land. And as a humble man, he is now ready to be used by God. We too must humble ourselves before God can use us. God knew how inadequate Moses felt, but God did not try to talk Moses into doing the job by telling him how great his abilities were, or what potential he had, or what a wonderful chap he was. God didn't try to do any of those things. God just said, I will be with you. That's all you need to know, Moses. Moses, still not wholly convinced his people will still remember God or his promises God made to them all those years ago, he just checks back with God again. Well, who shall I say sent me then? God tells him, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am who I am. Now, that's a funny name. What sort of a name is that? Now, of course, there's lots of theology packed into that, and a whole series of sermons could be spent on unpacking what God is saying. But for the purposes of this all-age service, it's sufficient to say it's very hard to describe exactly who God is. We can say he's all-powerful, creator, eternal, ever-present, all of which are true. But we soon run out of words in describing who God is. The most profound way we can describe God is just by saying that he is who he is. And that's what God tells Moses. I am who I am. I just am. God is just God, the one who always was, who always is, and always will be. And so Moses sets out for Egypt, ready to go to the leaders of Israel and to Pharaoh. Many things happen to him on the way, things which God uses to teach Moses even more about the great I am, and also about himself. Moses is just a humble shepherd. He has no strength, no right, nothing in himself to be the person who sets the Israelites free, except one thing: the great I am, God, goes with him. It's just the same for us when God sets us what seems like a mammoth task to do for him, or something that's way out of our comfort zone. We may feel totally inadequate or even unworthy to be used by God. But all we really need to know is if that God has called us to it, he will see us through it. God can only use us when we realize we can only do it, not because of anything that's in us, but because we know and trust through the power of his love that God will be with us. Moses did, as we shall see later on in the story over the weeks, lead God's people to the land he had promised them. But even then, the people still chose to go their own way and not God's way. People may give up on God, but God never gives up on people. The Lord always remembers his people and his promises, even when it seems he has forgotten. And we know this is certain because of another baby. A baby the whole story of Exodus points us to. And of course, that's the baby Jesus. Another baby who grew to be a man, a humble man, but one who would die on a cross just for you and just for me, so that we too could be free, free from our sins and the things that hold us, the things we do wrong, so that we could be free to serve him. The Bible tells us Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. And that's wonderful news, not just for those of us who believe in Jesus as God's Son. It's wonderful news for all people everywhere. News we are called to share. Just as God told Moses, go rescue my people, so Jesus tells us, go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, and here comes those words again, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. God remembered us when he sent Jesus, and so let us remember him and all he has done for us. Let us give our lives afresh to him this morning.